Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Genesis, chapter number 3. Genesis chapter 3. I do have quite a bit of scripture I had intended to read. God knows my heart. God knows His plan. And I'm thankful for what He's doing. But I want you to look in your Bible this morning, the book of Genesis to begin with. And we're going to share some things with you from Genesis chapter number 3. And look at verse number 6. Genesis 3 and verse number 6. And listen to what the Word of God has to say in the book of Genesis. Genesis 31. I'm sorry. We're going to go to Exodus chapter 3. But Genesis 31, let me read that verse first. Genesis in chapter number 31, and I look at verse number 53. Genesis 31 and verse number 53. And listen to what the Word of God says. The God of Abraham and the God of Nahor, the God of their father, judge between us. And Jacob sware by the fear of his father Isaac. Now go over to Exodus chapter 3. I'm sorry. Exodus chapter 3. And notice, if you would, I'll read verse number 6. Chapter 3, verse 6. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Look at verse number 13. Let me read 13. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people of Egypt, thou shalt serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say unto me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say to the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, thus shall ye say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. I leave off the reading there, and there were several other references I wanted to read to you, including one in the New Testament. But here's the phrase, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I study the Old Testament and look at those characters, and I see God do mighty things. When I see Moses raise his rod and the Red Sea opens up, and then the Egyptians follow behind, and God closes the sea behind them, and they are destroyed, every one of them. I thank God for Moses. When I see Elijah praying on Mount Carmel and the fire falling and consuming the altar and the rocks and all of that, I thank God for Elijah. But as I, many years ago, was going through and studying and looking at the lives of these men, I saw that recurring phrase, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It is not so much Moses. It is not so much Elijah. It's not so much Isaiah or Daniel or John or Paul. It is the God of Abraham. It is the God of Paul. It is the God of John. And my dear friend, when you look at the Word of God, He says this about Himself in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6, for I am the Lord God, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. In Isaiah 43 and verse 9, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there's none else. I am God and there's none like me. Say, there ain't nobody like God. Say it. Ain't nobody like God. He's the only true God, and God is the same, He said, yesterday, today, and forever. And so whatever is done, it has to be done by God. I want to, if the Lord's willing, in the next several Sunday mornings, talk to you about the God of certain people. This morning, I want to talk to you, beginning in the book of Genesis, about the God of Adam. I will not read all the references this morning, but I want to just relate the story to you, know it well. God created everything in this world. He had all the atmosphere ready, had the water ready, had everything ready. And then he said, let us make man in our own image. And the Bible said that he formed man out of the dust of the earth. I remember every time I read that verse about Brother Mays Jackson. Hey, people's all the time asking him questions. He said, a little old boy come up to me one day, and he said, I was preaching like a house of fire in revival. We was having a great time. This little old fella come up, and he said, Brother Mays, you sound like you're smart. And he said, well, I'm not smart. God used me. He said, was it raining or not raining the day God made Adam? He said, well, son, the Bible don't say. It don't say where it's raining or not raining. He said, it wasn't raining. He said, how do you know it wasn't raining? He said, he made him out of the dust of the earth. If it had been raining, he'd made him out of mud. That make any sense to you? But he formed man out of the dust of the earth, breathing his nostrils, breath of life. Man became a living soul. Put him in a perfect environment. And he brought all the animals to him for him to name. And Adam named every kind of species of animal there ever was. And the Bible says that God saw that it's not good for man to live alone. And so he made him a woman. He took a rib out of his side and formed a woman. Put him in that perfect environment and garden. And then the Bible said God blessed him. And I read that one day, what a blessing it is. He gave him a perfect body, gave him a perfect wife, put him in a perfect environment, and then he blessed him. I think he blessed him beforehand, but God blessed him. But then it says this about him. God said, you can take of any tree except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The Bible said Satan came in the form of a serpent, and he tempted Eve, and she saw the fruit, that it was good to look upon, good for taste, and she took it, and then she gave it to her husband, Adam. Uniquely in the New Testament, it says the woman was deceived, but Adam was not deceived. Now, why is that? Because he knew that her state had changed, and he wanted to be where she was. He loved her so much, and he is the first Adam, but our Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, came, and he took upon him as he did, as Adam did. He took the sin of the woman in the form of that fruit, and the Lord Jesus Christ came. The Bible said he bore our sin in his own body on the tree, and he died that we might have everlasting life. But I want to share with you in about 5 minutes now the God of Adam, the God of Adam. In the first place, I'd say to you that the God of Adam is the God of creation. Everything that was made by him. Book of John, chapter 1, it says that there's nothing made that was not made. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they were all involved in creation. God in the beginning, God, and then the Spirit hovered upon it. And John says that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God, was there, and not one thing was made without him. So God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, all involved in creation. Some people, atheists and others, and agnostics who say there may be a God, but you can't know him. If there is a God, you can't fellowship with him. But Genesis refutes that. The Bible says that God walked with Adam in the cool of the day. They fellowshiped, they talked. But God created Adam. He fashioned him. He is a creator God. He made everything that you see. Everything that you've experienced in 3 and 6 days, he made it all. And he made it out of nothing. Those who are atheists said there's no God, and they believe in something, well, they teach evolution. They believe in the Big Bang Theory because it all, you have to go back somewhere to where it started at. But those same atheists who don't believe in God, don't believe in the creative power of a holy God to make something out of nothing, don't believe in intelligent design, how uniquely he fashioned and put everything in balance in this earth, our climate, our bodies, the uniqueness of the human body, how he fashioned all that. And yet those same atheists will walk into an art gallery and see a beautiful painting, and they'll take their breath away, and the first question they ask is, who was the artist? They'll see a uniquely designed building, functional in every way, unique and modern, all the modern technology in it and everything else. And they'll ask the question, who was the engineer? Who was the architect? They've got sense enough to know that paintings don't just happen and that buildings don't just happen. There has to be some intelligent design, some gifted artist, some creative mind to construct or to build. And it was in the beginning God who created everything. The God of Adam is the God of creation. But I would suggest to you that he's still creating things. The Bible said, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And we're his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Amen. The new birth experience is not a renovation. I do like to watch Home and Garden and some of those other things. And the first ones that we all began to watch was the Fixer Uppers, Chip and Joanne, you know. That's why you can't go in a junk store no more and buy junk, because she goes to the junk stores and put these houses, it looks fabulous. So now all the junk I used to get for quarters, $3, because Joanne might happen to come by and want to buy it. But God fashioned us, God formed us, made us, and he gives us everlasting life. He's not in the renovation building. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians, you are a new creature in Christ Jesus. When you get saved, you become a brand new creature. You become something you've never been before. A new birth inside of you. He gives you a new nature. And Brother Barry's teaching about that. Do you know what? Nobody has to make me go to church. God put something in, he got something in my old nature that gave me an affinity, gave me a love for God, a love for his Bible, a love for his people. God created in me a new person. I'm born again by the grace of God. I was looking at Jared a while ago. Jared, would you and your beautiful wife stand up? I want you to look at this, brother. Turn around and look at them folks. Y'all remember Jared about 2 or 3 months ago? God got a hold of Jared. Thank you, buddy. And I'm going to tell you something. He's more of a bold witness than I am. He witnesses to everybody, trying to win folk to Christ. I believe that's a new creature. That's a creation of God. God did that. Mama couldn't do that for him. Jared couldn't do it for himself. But what you can't do for yourself, God can by his creative power. He can make you a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. You'll have a new home if you get saved. Thank God for that. But notice, he's not only the God of creation. That God of Adam is the God of creation. But he's also the God of the Trinity. Let us make man, plurality. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. There is a Trinity. I don't think there are levels in that hierarchy. I believe it's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They are co-equal, co-eternal, all God. And the Bible said when Christ put on a human body, the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in him bodily. The Bible said that he gave him the Holy Spirit of God without measure. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they've always been. And I thank the Lord for it. You see it all throughout the Bible. You see evidence of it. But I want to hasten on and say to you, he is a sovereign God. The God of Adam is sovereign. Go back in your mind as far as you could possibly go back and see where there's nothing. There's no earth, there's no stars, there's no moon, there's just God. And out of nothing, he created all that you see. Out of nothing, he fashioned the stars, all the millions and millions of stars. He named them, every one, the Bible said. He knows them. He gave light for the day and a light at night called the moon and the stars. He did all of those things. And he created all the different animals and species. I don't know about you, but I do love to go to zoos and nature science centers and all. And when you first go in, you know, you look and here's an animal and it's got all of this about its habitat and its diet. And so you stand there and you read every bit of it. And then you go to the next one and he's unique and it says this about him, that, and you read every bit of it. But before you get through, you're walking through and say, that's an elephant, that's a giraffe. And you just keep on walking. But you think about the millions and millions of different species of animals in the world. Mammals, sea creatures, fowls of the air, all the little creeping things, the insects, the depths of the sea, fish that men have never seen. You know, they got fish in the depths of the sea in those dark, dark, dark waters. They have headlights. They got lights. God fashioned them. He made every one of them. Why? Because he's God. And he's sovereign. It means that he did it all without any input from anybody else. And he did whatsoever he willed and whatever he pleased to do. And the Bible says that all things were made by him and created for his own pleasure. God fashioned everything. He created everything you see. And he did it without asking anybody anything. And he spoke them into existence. Thank God for that. Nobody designed a giraffe. Nobody drew out what an armadillo should look like. God just spoke him into existence. He did that. It means that God can do whatever he wants to according to his will and according to his own good pleasure. He does what he chooses to do. He's sovereign. But the God of Adam is also the God that blesses. I made reference to that. He fashioned my beautiful body, wonderful body, gave him a wonderful mate, put him in a perfect environment, and then he blessed them. He is the God that blesses. God blesses us and gives us so many things. He is the God from whom sin cannot be hid. You learned that from Adam. The Bible said that when Adam sinned, he and his wife saw they were naked. They made him garments of fig leaves. And when they heard God coming, instead of walking with him and fellowship with him and days gone past, they fled from him. You see, an unregenerated, a lost man and woman, they're afraid to get around God. They don't want to get around God. That's why they don't like to come to church. They don't like to get under conviction. But they hid from God. But God came to where they were. You can't hide your sin from God. He knows the deep recesses of your heart, knows all about you, knows all about your sin. He knows about your sin before you ever commit them. He knew about your sins before you were ever born. And consequently, God the Father laid all the sins of all the world on his Son, Jesus Christ, and he bore all of our sin in his own body on the tree, and he died and suffered for us. He's a God from whom you cannot hide sin. Your sin will find you out, the Bible said. Be sure your sin will find you out. Your sin that's hid from your wife, from your husband, from your mom, from your dad, that you've done in the deep, a dark night where nobody was around, even when you were right by yourself, God knows every sin. He sees everything, knows all of your sin. He is the God not only that whom sin can be not be hid from, he is the God of judgment. He said of Adam, as soon as you eat of that tree, you'll die. But yet Adam walked and talked. How could he do that? What's died inside of Adam is what's dead inside of every lost man. Theologically call it total depravity. That inside of you, there's a deadness. You have a body and you have a spirit or soul. But my dear friend, you don't have that new spirit, that redeemed spirit that communes with God. You have to be born again to get that. But there's a deadness. The Bible says, she that lives in pleasure is dead while she yet liveth. You're dead in trespass and sin, the Bible says. He concluded all under sin. He's a God of judgment. Your sin will be punished, or it has been punished. On Calvary, God poured out all of his wrath on all of our sin and paid our sin debt. Christ perfectly fulfilled the law, satisfied every demand of God's justice, and God extracted from his own Son the payment for all of our sin. Christ said, I did not come to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give my life a ransom. He was the payment for all of our sin. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. My dear friend, you can't hide your sin from him. He knows all about you. You can act religious and all those things, but he knows all of your sin, and he will judge your sin. But in Genesis chapter 3, verse 21, after that encounter, the Bible said, and God clothed them with skins. That's a perfect picture of redemption. There was some sort of creature. Some people say it was a lamb or whatever. I'm not sure exactly what it was. I personally believe it was a lamb or sheep. And he killed those animals, God did himself, and clothed Adam and Eve with those skins. The blood had to be shed. There had to be a death for their sin to be hid. And for our sin to be hid, there had to be a death. Because it was impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. But what they could not do, what those sacrifices could not do, God did in the person of his own Son who died once for all. He paid the sin debt. And what he did is he took off all of our sin and put it on Christ. And then he clothed us with the righteousness of Christ, wrapped us in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we were clothed in him. Adam, we learned that the God of Adam is the God of redemption. I love that song that Squire Parson used to sing. He came to me, and he went to Adam, and he redeemed Adam. And my dear friend, when you are lost and away from God, the Bible said, there's none that seeketh after God. No, not one, not one. But I'm glad the good shepherd of your soul has come to see you. He may have come this morning through the message or through the singing to draw you to himself and save you for Jesus' sake. The God of Adam is a God of salvation. From the very get-go, we learn that God goes to the sinner. God finds the sinner. God convicts the sinner. And God saves and cleanses the sinner. He's the God of Adam. Would you bow your heads in prayer? He said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. The God of Adam does not change. He's still able to make brand new creatures. He's still able to make brand new. He's able to change your life this morning. If you're here in the building this morning and you were to die right now, do you know that you'd go to heaven? It's not by baptism. It's not by church membership. But it's because you've been born again. The Creator God of Adam can make you a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. And he'll do that through the process called the new birth. Will you trust him this morning? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now in this building and in the media audience, you have everything to gain and nothing to lose by crying out to him and say, God, I believe Jesus, you died for my sin. You suffered and bled, died, were buried, and rose again. Please forgive me of my sin. I accept Jesus now as my personal Savior. Come into my heart and save me right now. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for loving me and for dying for me and for saving me right now. You may be in the building and you're Christian, but you know you're not where you ought to be. You're away from God. You shy away from preaching. You shy away from the truth of the Word of God. You don't want it to get too close to you. My dear friend, you're missing so many things. I was reading devotionally this morning, Jeremiah. And God said, oh, the blessings that I had for you that you never did receive because you would not repent. Not only do you pay the price of sin, but you lose the wonderful, blessed benefits and blessing of that God has for you. He is the God that blesses. He's got so many things for you, even beyond your eternal life, even beyond forgiving your sin. As a Christian, he has so many wonderful experiences for you, so many wonderful blessings for you. But you only get those blessings if you'll trust Christ. But if you're a Christian out of fellowship with God, you've lost your joy. You've lost your song. You've lost your testimony, perhaps. You've lost your presence, sense of his presence and his power. I'm asking you to repent this morning. Ask God to forgive you and purge you and cleanse you and restore you. Maybe you've been praying about a church home and you feel this is where God wants you. I want you to obey Christ. Every act of obedience from everybody in this auditorium will enhance the presence and power of God in this building. If you'll just obey God in what he wants you to do, as a body of believers, we'll see God do miraculous things.